This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line on a Football Friday. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we barrel into December, we welcome in Hall of Famer behind the book there at the South Point, our partner, Vinny Meliulo. And Vinny, first off, Vinny, hi and happy holidays. You and I were discussing a little bit during the break. You know, there's a lot of action going on with the World Cup. We've got Week 13 kicked off last night at the NFL. Tomorrow, on our Football Saturday show, the Lombardi Line, we're going to have, as we kick off the show, the United States and the Netherlands are going to kick off. Let's start there. You've been getting a lot of action in the World Cup over there at the South Point. Specifically, a lot of bettors taking the United States.
Oh, listen, guys, I've got to tell you, a lot of nationalism in the World Cup here. But if there's a common element with the World Cup, it's compared to other sports, it's the betting aspect of it. And here's how it plays out. So the U.S., we open again. There's two ways now to bet this next round, this knockout round. We have the USA at plus a half a goal. Netherlands minus a half goal. They're the favorite, but we made it pick them, minus a dime both sides. USA is up to 2-1. Now, that's on the goal line where the score is graded after regulation and after 90 minutes and stoppage time. So then we also have the folks who want to bet, and there's obviously a total on that, and two over minus $1.35 is the favorite there. But you also we have to advance. So whoever actually is wins the match, and the USA is a pretty good-sized dog there, Netherlands minus 220, USA plus 190. The common factor in terms of the way it's bet compared to other sports is locals, you know, the casual fans, they're betting and supporting Team USA. And more seasoned bettors, it's about betting a price and betting a number. And that's when they'll get involved. Professional bettors will look to bet on the Netherlands at plus the best price they can get. And right now it's plus $1.75. And I think a lot of it has to do with the news about Christian Pulisic probably being probable to go tomorrow with his abdominal injury. And word is that there may be some flu-like, a little flu bug going through the Dutch squad. So, but we'll see. But a lot of support by the general public on Team USA.
And I'm guessing a lot of support on the United States last week against Iran as well, correct? Or excuse me, earlier this week.
Yeah, so no, they bet. They bet the USA. Yeah, I mean it was. I got to tell you, that was a pretty emotional. It was as big a reaction as the Raider win last week in overtime. So a lot of good stuff going on and you know what, the thing about it, as long as the Americans advance, it actually it helps the overall handle. Patrick, as you and I were talking off the air.
Yeah, I mean, I got to think the local bars around here, Vinny, I mean, it's huge to get these. Longer the Americans go, it's just another week of people coming in to watch and want to separate. I mean, I can remember I was in Italy, a few years back to see Springsteen, and there was a pub, and there was, I think it was some kind of national soccer. I mean, that whole pub was filled with people watching the soccer tournament. So it was amazing how people love to go to a bar to watch a game, and so it's a lot of fun. I mean, hopefully we keep going with it.
Yeah, I think so. And as long as our business will be strong, particularly again, I go back to what we've talked about being a 24-hour operation. It's a 3-shift town, so even with the games that take place extremely early, whether it's 7 a.m., we had games at 2 a.m. last week. We get a lot of support and a lot of play on the soccer. And again, you know, the aspect, it's wide open too. You know, there's a little bit of an NFL element to it, right, guys, with some of the unpredictability.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, look at some of the teams that have advanced, but look at the teams that are going to, Germany's gone, right? I mean, you mentioned Italy. Italy wasn't even in it, Michael. So the unpredictable aspect of it, I think, has added to it too. So we're very pleased with the response to this year's World Cup play so far.
I'll just add to that, add to what Michael said and what you're saying, Vinny, about the fervor for the World Cup. I sent Michael, I think it was last week, a picture. I live about five blocks from the Hermosa Pier, and they've been having these viewing parties for the games. Tomorrow, the viewing party starts at 7 a.m., and it's standing room only already. So think about that. Saturday, 7 a.m., Hermosa Beach, California. They've got a huge TV outside at the pier, but it's standing room only. So you can't, I mean, it's just like, it's pretty cool to see the nationalistic pride and everything come together. So we shall see.
Yeah, it's good.
We're going to be focused on
football. And by the way,
there'll
be a couple of, I'm sure there'll be a Vinny running around in flip-flops and shorts taking action. I know they don't have a counter.
Listen,
but look.
On those Sunday night NFL games, you can hear my neighbors. I can hear the way they're cheering. I know who they're betting on. So again, betting does not discriminate. Betting, there's bettors everywhere. There's bookies everywhere. It doesn't have to be legal. Trust me when I say that. How'd you do?
My colleagues.
They're brothers in arms. How'd you do last night? Michael and I were a little confused by that number. Did you close four with the Bills and did you win off?
No, we closed. We closed 3.5 last night, and with, you know, so this game, we did open the Bills 5, and it was a pretty steady stream up until yesterday afternoon of Patriots money, and they also bet the game, under a little bit. We did close at 43.5 off the 44 opener, but plenty of Bills money yesterday afternoon and up until kickoff. Did okay on the game. Didn't do bad. But again, it kind of set the tone for favorite teasers with the Bills and parlays. So we did okay on the game, but it's a little bit deceiving because of the way the Bills came in on it.
Vinny, where are you on the Raiders? Where are you on the Raiders Charger game right now?
We've got the game pick'em. A steady stream of Raider support
money
this week. I got to tell you guys, you know, and we've talked about it during the course of the season, right? The thing about the Raiders is there's either a huge push on Raiders on the Raiders in games this or a move against them. Now, if it's going to come against them, it'll probably come as we get closer to kickoff on Sunday. But they took 2, they took 1.5, 1, and we're down to pick them here. So this game is we've seen quite a bit of Raider money. I suspect at some point, though, we will see Charger money come in. It'll be I love it. Again, it's a local game. There'll be a lot of support for the Raiders. Not only at Allegiant Stadium, but certainly here in every sports book in Las Vegas. But I think we'll see some Charger money show. I think folks that are looking to bet the Chargers are just going to wait and see if they could maybe get a point or get a little better price on them, particularly on the money line.
I think Millie Lombardi is going to be at the game. Am I correct?
Yeah, there'll be red carpet out for that one, bad boy.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
The Queen is coming. The Queen is coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
she better deliver a win. Every time she goes to a game, there's no win, so she better come through.
This time
it's
going to be different. This time it's
going to
be different. You know what's weird about that one is I'm just looking at my board. Vegas is 1 pretty much everywhere, and then the Westgate has the Chargers 1.5 in. So just to give an idea of the different shops, you know, how the number varies, Vinny.
Yeah, you know, it's an important point you bring up, Patrick, because, again, it speaks to a couple of things. One is you want to shop, right, always. And, even though we certainly want folks to bet with us, I encourage people to shop because if you're shopping, that means you're considering us and you're looking for the best possible price on your side. The other aspect of that is all it takes is one person. If you get a particular, you know, one bet, you can have a really lopsided ticket count. But one bet can either put you, in balance, or it can really shift things to the other side. And again, here in Las Vegas, where we've got, big casino players that come in too, all it takes is one person or a couple of people. That tells me that the Westgate has somebody that's pretty strong, has a strong opinion on the Chargers. Now, again, if you're looking to bet the Raiders and you're shopping in town, obviously you've got to consider that spot. If you're looking to bet on the Chargers, then you're going to look to take one, or go with pick 'em here, or look for a money line too. Not everybody has a money line if the game is either side less than two, favored by two. So lots of shopping opportunities between now and kickoff. And pay attention to the injury reports. Injuries are starting to come out today. And then, of course, that leads up until Sunday for the actives and inactives. So lots to consider. Either way, monitor the betting lines from now, particularly starting Friday, right up until within an hour of kickoff.
Great point about the money line and the short line.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. It really was. Washington, I'm seeing Antonio Gibson actually may not play. It's weird with Washington, Michael, and the Giants. The Giants are actually starting to get healthy. Washington's still relatively healthy, but Gibson has that kind of change of pace back, could be a big miss if he doesn't go.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, but Robinson has been their back. I mean, he's kind of been going too, and Washington's got a week off in between the games. I'm always concerned about teams that have a bye in a big game. You know, they seem to play their best before they get to the bye. And because they know they'll get a bunch more days off if they win that game. So, that's one. The Giants, look, the Giants' formula the last 5 weeks hasn't been there. They've given up touchdowns in the red zone. They've turned the ball over, and they can't run.
Revenge is on USC's mind right down the road from where Vinny sits at Allegiant Stadium. The Pac-12 championship, of course, Utah, USC playing for a chance to get into the Final Four. We'll discuss it next with Vinny Maliulo, the Hall of Famer.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, also the sponsor of the Lombardi Line. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. If you're in town, stop by any MGM property, bring your state issued ID, you're ready to bet within minutes. You have to be 21 years or older, and if you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. Vinny Maliulo from behind the book there at the South Point. Busy time of the year. He joins us. And before we get to the Pac-12 championship game, actually some sharp money coming on the under between USC and Utah. Let's finish up our thoughts on Washington at the Giants, because it sounds like there at the South Point, they're hitting the Commanders.
Yeah, opened 1.5 on Monday. Our numbers come out on Monday morning, guys, and they laid the 1.5. They laid the 2. We're up to 2.5. And I think anybody looking for the Giants is looking for that key number of 3, right? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Going to find out quite a bit about the Giants now with this run, this particular part of their schedule, a very challenging part of their schedule. Pleasant surprise, I think, by some in terms of how, especially the backers of the four teams in the NFC East. There was so much talk about the AFC West being the strongest conference going into the season, and they did rate very highly, or much higher in terms of a power rating, no surprise with Kansas City. But I think when you look at that division and you compare the NFC East right now to it in terms of competitiveness, I mean, these are all four teams in the playoff hunt right now. So, but all about the Commanders right now in this 10 o'clock Pacific start this Sunday. Anybody looking to bet the Giants is waiting to see if they can get 3. If it pops to 3, it won't last long.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a team going in two different directions, Vinny. And I'm sure in your power rankings, you do the same thing. You kind of, you know, see a team sliding, see a team winning and you know, playing better. And I think ultimately this is really going to come down to the injury report. The Giants have not been healthy. They got to get Barkley going. Their offensive line has struggled. And against this good Washington front, I think it's going to be hard to run the ball. Even though Atlanta ran the ball, Atlanta runs the ball differently than most teams.
Mm-hmm. Agree. I think, and the thing about it, Michael, is you've got a Washington team that's got cohesiveness now, right? I mean, especially with Heineke under center. I think that the team has rallied around him, and it's not a knock on Carson Wentz. The reality is the team has responded with Heineke, at quarterback, and it's translated to victories for this team. So they're playing extremely well. And they play hard, well coached. And again, it's always about the number. And in this case, a very key number looming with the Commanders now as a 2.5-point favorite. Again, folks looking to bet the Giants are waiting to see if they can catch three.
The Heinicke story is fascinating. He's averaging like 175 yards passing per. He's going to throw a pick or two a game, Michael, but they keep winning. And there is something to be said about the dudes playing for him because, I mean, there's juice when he's in the starting lineup.
I mean, look, the first 5 weeks of the season, they couldn't create a turnover. I mean, they couldn't create one. They got a couple against Jacksonville, but they couldn't create any. And all of a sudden, once they started to create turnovers and their offense stopped turning the ball over, they became a better team. And Heinicke, even though he turns the ball over, you know, he gives them enough plays to offset it. And this is going to be a huge game. I don't think weather's going to be a factor. This is going to come down to if the Giants get one-dimensional and they can't throw and they can't run it, it's going to be hard to have to pass protect a lot against this Washington front.
And by the way, I heard Slayton was banged up as well, so he's wide receiver one right now for the Giants. We'll get you updated. Of course, on Sunday, we'll have all the news here on the Lombardi Line. Okay, let's get to – I'm excited about Utah-USC tonight, Pac-12 championship game, Allegiant Stadium there in Vegas. Right now, I've got USC laying 2.5, a total of 67.5. But before we get to that matchup, Vin, let's back up and have a little fun. Let's talk about these final four odds when you drop the future numbers. Okay, let's have a little fun with some of these teams. You've got Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC right now. Those are the four. Let's go back to when you dropped the future book.
Yeah, and this was back last January, right around playoff time for the teams. And you look back and you say, well, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to, you know, we knew that Alabama was a favorite, right? And they were, I'll throw them in there because they were 3-2 favorites. But when you look at Georgia, no surprise, they were a short price at 3-1. They presently sit at -160, which means, you know, you've got to put up 160 to win 100 to get back 260. Michigan, 25-1. A year ago, just about a year ago, right? So 25-1. I think folks thought that, particularly after the playoff performance, could they come back and play to the same level that they did a year ago? And I think, you know, once we saw how well they performed during the season, and of course a strong performance at Columbus, that you know, that really got people's belief. They're plus 275 now, so less than 3-1. I'll save TCU for last. USC, 20-1. There was steady play, a lot of tickets written, especially when Lincoln Riley got signed and he brought a lot of his skill position players with him. So there was a lot of support for for USC at 10-1. But here's one. There's always one that kind of crashes, it seems, the party, so to speak. And you know what? A long shot has lurked for several years. Well, here's one that lurked. TCU is 12-1 right now to win the national championship in the future book. Would you love to have a ticket in your pocket right now, guys, with the Horned Frogs at 200-1? 200-1 last January. Baylor was actually, you know, Baylor and Oklahoma were, you know, much shorter.
Of course.
They were at the top at, you know, for the Big 12. But TCU at 200-1. Last January, there's a few folks out there. I've got a buddy of mine. He's he lives in Texas, and he's a big TCU fan. He's a soccer coach, but he always follows the Horned Frogs, and he always winds up putting up like $100 ticket on TCU every year. And
hey,
I think
really?
He's an alum. Yep, he's got a rooting interest now. He's in a great spot at 200-1.
Good for him. That's wonderful. Yeah. That is well,
now,
Sonny
cashes,
first.
Vinny, does he cash? He has to win the national championship to cash. It's not getting to the Final Four.
No, that's to win the national championship. But at 200-1, listen, he's in a great spot now because you know, he can take the dog this week. He doesn't even have to wait. I mean, you know, when you look at it, he can take. Kansas State at some point, that game is up to 2.5. It's holding steady at 2.5. But if he gets three, he might grab it or take a little bit of money line, and he's in a great spot. He's in a great spot not only for this week, but when we get to the semifinals.
Can start hedging.
That's
a
great
bit.
Lesson there, Patrick. That's a great lesson is when you're holding a valuable ticket, it's not all or nothing. You can make money as you hold that ticket. That's a great lesson.
Absolutely. That's a great job, Vin. He's holding $20,000 potentially, so you can start getting creative with it right now.
Yep.
Good job by the TCU fan. Okay, tonight, are the books going to need Utah tonight? Because I know a lot of sharp bettors are on Utah, but my assumption is the public's going to play USC.
Yeah, and I think more sharp bettors are waiting to see if this game goes to three, guys. I know we've been talking about it a lot. This is a number that's lurking both in college and in the NFL this weekend. But TCU, SC, we open as two-point favorites against Utah. It's up to 2.5. The total's gone up from 66.5, was a 2 points higher yesterday at 68.5. Did come in on the under, 67.5. The general public is going to love points in this game. Of course, we got a little recent history, right, with what these two teams did this past fall in their matchup. I've got to tell you, too, guys, Utah actually rates higher when it comes to the pure power ratings, by about a point or a point and a half. And you say, well, how come you open it higher? Well, you anticipate, right? And there's been a lot of support for USC. So part of what we do, guys, is also you watch not only what teams are in terms of that power rating, but how they're getting bet. And there's been a lot of support for SC throughout the season. I mentioned even in the future book from almost a year ago where they were as high as 20-1. So a lot of support there. I think professionals, though, are going to look to Utah in this game, not only if they can get three, but you might see them grab the money line on the game and see if you can get the Utes at plus $1.40 or better.
It's hard to beat a team twice in 1 year, and especially a game that went down to 1 point the last time they played.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard thing to do. I mean, it's, that to me, it's a pick 'em game all the way around, and something, mm-hmm. You got to get a break here and a break there or somewhere, because SC's got to be able to get some stops defensively. Utah is just a tough team. They're not going to go away at all.
I will say this. Utah just was awesome offensively. I think they dropped 63 on Colorado, but Colorado scored 21 points last week against Utah. These two teams, Utah and USC, Michael, scored a combined 85 on October 15th. The fact that total's getting hit to the under is very surprising to me. It's sitting 67.5. You mentioned, Vinny, you were 68.5 yesterday?
Yeah, it was as high as 68.5, and some pretty respected folks came in and took the under.
Great job,
Who's
Vinny.
Better than
we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Who's better than you, Vinny? Can you answer the question? Nobody.
Have a great weekend, guys. Cash some tickets.
See, always humble. Vinny Maliulo, the Hall of Famer, the South Point. Stop by, say hi, take a selfie. When we come back, some real weird synergy in Michael's top five quarterbacks. It's fascinating. I'll explain. That's next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Cyber Monday has officially been extended. We might take this thing into July. Just playing. Get over there right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. Become a VSiN Pro, an annual subscriber. And when you do, the point of Cyber Monday is this. We're going to give you $30 in credit that you can spend at the VSiN store. So get it right now. The sale has been extended. VSiN.com/subscribe. Remember, when you sign up, become a VSiN Pro, you get everything we offer, including free picks that we email you every single day. We're going to make you some cash, become a pro, and also spend $30 on us at the store. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we've got your boy Amal coming up in 15 minutes. So we'll talk to Amal Shaw from Big Bets, see how he's feeling today. It's always interesting. But before
What or where is he going to take us? What ride will he take us on today? How's he, by the way, I meant to ask, I mean, you're not out there either. How's he handling the Ohio State beatdown? I mean, how's that going?
I can already tell you how he's going to answer that question. He's going to be very monotone. He's going to give you
one
a short answer. And he's going to say, I didn't really care anyway. That's what he, so
exactly.
Now that we've said that, now that we've teased it, we have to ask him all about his Ohio State Buckeyes, who, by the way, sitting there at 5, if USC loses tonight, the Buckeyes are in the dance. They're going to go to the Final Four.
I mean, yeah. That'd be interesting, right?
Alabama's 6. So,
look,
Ohio
I think
State's
Alabama
jump them.
Ohio State's sitting there perfectly. I mean, this is the problem with these conference championship games. You're better off losing them than you are winning them. You know, I mean, like, here you are, you're USC, you got to go, now you got to go play a tough Utah team. Could you imagine if Ohio State had to go play another tough team again? You know, but they win and they, you know, so I don't know. That's what I don't like about this whole process. Whoever gets five and doesn't play in the game is in the driver's seat.
Just want to say this about tonight's game. Right now, USC's laying 2.5. Again, they've got everything to play for. And Utah has been awesome in the Pac-12, so I'm not disrespecting them. But Utah beat USC 43-42. In that matchup at Utah, USC was up by 14. There were weird penalties down the stretch. Remember, Cameron Rising going for two. They won it on a two-point conversion with 48 seconds to go. Here is the concern for Utah tonight. Dalton Kincaid, who's their best wide receiver, he had 16 catches for 234 versus USC on October 15th. He was banged up in the win last week against Colorado. So there is some concern whether or not Kincaid's going to be full strength. I'm just saying. And USC, like I said, they have everything to play for, and they've got the Heisman winner and Caleb Williams on their team. It is going to be a fascinating matchup there in Vegas tonight.
Yeah, it will be. And, you know, like, what about TCU? They got to play Kansas State, which was a hard game for them the last time, right?
Of course.
So, you know, I mean, Ohio State's sitting there with two chances to get this thing.
100%. Most Ohio State fans that I know believe they're going to get in. Which way they get in is interesting. Hard to beat a good team twice like Kansas State. TCU, though, TCU is a very balanced team. TCU is more balanced than they were given credit for when they went on this run. Good defensively, good offensively. We shall see. Now, one thing I wanted to point out is in your Lombardi look ahead, you had the top five quarterbacks. I'm going to give these because I think it's fascinating. One was Mahomes, two was Allen. Then we go 3 through 5. 3 is Burrow, 4 is Tua, 5 is Herbert. Do you know what's fascinating about that? In the 2020 draft, Burrow goes 1, Tua goes 5, Herbert goes 6. Isn't that crazy, the synergy there? So they got it right based on your rankings right now. That's pretty cool. The 2020 draft, Burrow, Tua, Herbert are 3, 4, and 5 in your top five quarterbacks right now.
What do you think? What do you think Herbert would look like if he was in Miami?
Oh my! His numbers would be. He'd be an MVP. He'd be in the MVP conversation like Tua is.
Yeah, yeah. Waddle
and Tyreek, just yards after catch is just, it's a palooza.
Well, plus, I mean, we're going to find out how good they are. And with Armstead not playing this weekend at left tackle and Brendan Schell at right tackle, are they going to be able to protect Tua? I mean, Tua's not gotten hit very much since the injury. He got hit last week. I thought he got hurt last week, but he got up. But he's not gotten hit. We'll see how that happens. I mean, Armstead's back too, the defensive tackle. You know, they're getting healthy in San Francisco.
I want to give you right now MVP odds. Mahomes is -150. Hurts is your second betting favorite at 3.5 to 1. And Tua is your third betting favorite at 4.5 to 1. Josh Allen's 14 to 1. So Tua is significantly shorter as far as odds than Josh Allen as far as the MVP.
If you put Josh Allen on Miami, what would that look like?
I mean, his weapons are crazy. And I do think McDaniel calls a good... Have you been impressed with the way McDaniel calls a game?
Well, I think I don't like the way what he does on fourth down. I mean, he's going to make a mistake in this game. He's going to do something stupid and go for it and try to win the game. I mean, look, he almost cost him the Pittsburgh game. And Pittsburgh's throwing the ball in the end zone. I think he's reckless, Patrick, with it. I think his play calling, I'm not a complainer. Some of the fourth down decisions is not good for me.
So the remaining schedule for your boys, the Dolphins. So they're at San Francisco. And remember, that next week, they're at the Chargers. So they're going to probably stick around.
Stay out there.
At San Francisco, at the Chargers, at Buffalo. That might be the toughest three-game stretch anybody's faced. So we're going to find out a lot over the next three games what the Dolphins are all about. Again, at San Fran, at Chargers, come back home, go to Buffalo. That ain't easy.
No, it's not. And look, that when they beat the Patriots opening day, they got a fortune. You know, they got turnovers in that game. The Ravens was a great fourth quarter. The Bills turned the ball over. But I mean, you know, the Viking game, you could say they lost, which to me was an interesting game to say the least. But that Steeler game is really the first half of the Detroit game was a close game. But other than that, I mean, they battled against Chicago was right there with them.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Chicago's right there with them. I mean, So it isn't like they've been, oh my gosh, they're so good. They're beating bad teams. He's playing well. I don't know how good they are. I think we're going to get a chance to see that this week.
I wrote just what you said down in my notes. I said the Dolphins have won five straight, but you know, two of those wins, close wins against Chicago and Detroit, and two of their three losses this year have come on the road. They haven't been the same team on the road. They go on right. the road against the 49ers. You know the number, right? I'll give you the number. I was just taking a look.
It's four, right?
It's still four. I was just taking a look to see if it moved. It's 4-1-10 up and down, so it's not really moving off the four.
It was 3.5, and it went to four. It was 3.5, and it went to four, and it's been at four for a while. It stayed there. And a lot of that is, look, the 49ers, it's going to be – I had it as mostly cloudy with some light rain. Today I just checked, and it's just mostly cloudy, 57 degrees. So it should be good for him to go with no rain. I mean, he needs good weather. Let's just be honest. He needs good weather. Next week in Buffalo, good luck. What's that line, yeah. Patrick? What's that line? You didn't give me that. You know,
ahead.
2 weeks from now. What's that 2 weeks from now Buffalo, Miami line?
Try to pull that up for you quickly on the 49ers, Michael, at home. 4-1 at home. Their loss was to the Chiefs, where, to be fair, that's kind of where the Chiefs asserted their dominance as far as maybe being one or two of the best teams in football because they were really good against San Francisco. But San Francisco's won four straight. Go ahead.
But they were hurt in that game. There were a lot of injuries in that game. They were coming off, I think it was the Atlanta game. Didn't they just play Atlanta in that game?
Yes.
I'll have to go back and check, but they just played Atlanta on the road, and Atlanta beat them on the road. They're a different team now. I mean, San Francisco's a different team. You know, once they got through the bye week, they lost that Kansas City game. You know, then they went down to L.A. They beat the Rams, which was, you know, people thought it was a great win, but it really wasn't. And then they got the bye week, and now they've been on a three-game win streak since the bye, and they've been great defensively. I mean, the last four games, they haven't given up more than 17 points.
Defensively, you mentioned, is it the best D in football? Best scoring D, 15-7 per they're giving up. They're giving up the fewest yards in football at 281.7. So, again, 16-4 touchdown to turnover ratio for Garoppolo. He's doing enough. The question is, will Debo play this weekend? You saw what Shanahan said. Shanahan said he's going to have to show him something in practice to play this weekend. I'll be curious to see if Debo goes.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've got weapons now. They've got a lot of weapons. I mean, they need Debo, but they got a lot of weapons. And Miami's got problems. Everybody attacks the other corner than Howard. And if you can block Miami's pressure, you know, and that's what I wrote about today. This is a really good coordinator battle between McDaniel and Shanahan. You know, both guys know exactly what the other one wants to do. It comes down to the matchups, and the matchups really favor San Francisco. Who's going to cover these guys for San Francisco? San Francisco's a fast offense. Not only are they a fast defense, they're a fast offense. With Kittle in there and then McCaffrey and their running back situation, it's hard to match up to it because if you want to stay base against them, they're going to throw you out of it. If you want to go nickel against it, they run you out of it.
By the way, the look ahead back in May for week 15, which is what you're asking about, the Dolphins at the Bills was 6. I don't have it currently, but Bills
I don't have it currently either.
May.
I looked on my sheet too, yeah.
It's not there, but anyway, it'll be fascinating. Like I
anywho.
Said, this is my grandmother used to say. The San Francisco, the Chargers, and the Bills. After these 3 weeks, we'll see what the Dolphins are all about. It's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned this in your Lombardi look at the coordinator battle with Shanahan and McDaniel. Like, they know each other inside and out. This Sunday is going to be very interesting as far as the chess game played between the two head coaches. How's Amal taking the Ohio State loss? We'll find out next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it is The Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Of course, remember, every time you make a wager at the King of Sportsbooks, you earn BetMGM reward points, and you can convert those points, like Amal Shaw does, into free bets, airfare, dining, shows. There's so much to get to over at BetMGM. Make sure you sign up right now at BetMGM.com or download the app. You got to be 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Okay, we got you back here on the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to welcome in our buddy Amal Shaw, of course, one half of Big Bets with Dave Ross that follows the Lombardi Line. I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to let you, Michael Lombardi, ask him the question that we need to pay off here. Go for it.
You know, Amal, I was listening to, I watched the Ohio State-Michigan game, and at halftime, Ryan Day says, "We're playing really tough. I like where we are." What was your reaction to that comment?
Well, I mean, look, they missed some opportunities. I mean, I'm kind of indifferent. I think the biggest problem is they're too much of a finesse team. You know, the fourth and one, he runs the
point.
Ball. He throws the ball against Maryland. He does the same thing against Michigan. Here's how I always frame it when you're on defense. If you're cheering for a team or if you have a bet on a team that's on defense, do you want them punting the ball? Do you want them throwing the ball? Or do you want them running it? And running would be my third option, because I feel like that's the easiest scenario in which you're going to be able to get a first down. Now, you can argue that Stroud had Stover open on the play and probably threw it a little bit long, but still, if you run the ball, I don't think they're stopping Mayan Williams from getting half a yard there or a yard, whatever was necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I think you answered that. They're just not a tough team. That's my point. Yeah. Like, I think he mistakes what he thinks is – I don't think he really knows what toughness looks like, because I agree with you. Like, if you just punch him in the – you got to win close games, to win playoff games, to win games in December, right? It's why Philly's going to be a really hard team to beat, because every third and one, fourth and one, Philly gets in that rugby formation and they get a first down. You know, it's hard. You know, and you got to be able to – you got to convert third and one in playoff games or games in December. And that's a tribute to toughness. That's why I just don't see Ohio State. But I do think – I'd like to hear what you think. I do think they'll get in.
Yeah, it depends. I think if USC loses tonight, they're going to get in. If TCU loses, I don't think they get in. I think TCU gets in despite maybe from a television standpoint and a monetary standpoint, you'd want to select Ohio State, especially with the ratings that we saw for the game this past weekend, highest since 2011 in the regular season. And that Alabama-LSU game was played at night, so I think you're going to generally get higher ratings for something like that. So I think it'll be one of those scenarios where if it comes down to TCU, because you can't penalize a team for playing in a conference championship game, in my opinion.
Well, you are
I agree.
You're dressed like Don Draper right now. So my question for you is, I heard a rumor that you're actually going to throw on your Utah jersey and go cheer for the Utes tonight at the Pac-12 championship game. Is that true, the rumor I heard, Amal?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be going with Paulie Howard and Hoops Peterson. Can't wait. You know, get over there and watch that one. Should be a lot of fun. Can't wait. I mean, it's going to be an all-timer.
Do you have a play in the game, Amal? Who do you like?
I do not. I think it's going to be a tough game to call. Revenge is a huge factor for the Trojans here. You know, it's funny. I was just on a Zoom call, and they were asking me about USC, and it was with some people that actually went to SC. And I said, listen, the greatest thing about USC is Lincoln Riley hasn't fired Alex Grinch yet. As long as the Grinch who stole defense will be their coordinator, USC will not be as dominant as they should be. If they had a coordinator with a pulse and knew what the hell he was doing, SC would be marching to national titles, and we'd be reliving the Pete Carroll era.
Wow.
Go ahead. No, the one thing about Grinch's defense is that they've been so opportunistic. I mean, they lead the nation in takeaways. So it's like that's what saved his ass, right?
Yeah.
You're correct on that. However, you know, they've gotten to play teams like Colorado. I'm pretty sure Bishop Gorman is more competitive than the Buffaloes are right now. I know modern day is definitely better than Colorado. I mean, so from that standpoint, it's not like they're playing anybody. You look at the schedule, they benefited. They didn't have to play Oregon. They got UCLA. DTR has been a turnover machine his whole career. Great toughness, but an offensive turnover machine. You look at Grinch, when he was at Washington State, the most points Michigan State scored in the year they played Wazoo was in that bowl game against Washington State. Ohio State had their worst defense in a decade. Alex Grinch was a co-defensive coordinator there. Lincoln Riley's teams have never stopped anybody on defense. Alex Grinch has been a guy there. So I don't know. If you just kind of maybe take what's the common thread among those three scenarios, Alex Grinch.
Maybe Mike Leach knows what he's doing. I mean, he had Grinch up at Washington State. That's where, when Washington State played good defense in that year that I forget what year it was, that Grinch was the coordinator, remember?
Well, right. And then when they played Michigan State in the bowl game, Michigan State had their highest offensive output of the season against Alex Grinch.
Yeah.
The Grinch that stole defense is tremendous. Did you come up with that or did you steal that?
I don't plagiarize. Come on. What do you think? I'm like everybody else at this network? I got my own material.
Stop. We all do. I mean, I don't put out an old album. We try to put new albums out every day here, too.
I know you're a Bruce Springsteen fan like I am. I went to see Springsteen in concert in Dallas one time, and he's playing this new music, and some guy stands up and goes, "Play the old stuff. That's what we came for."
Yeah, but I mean, Bruce has no old stuff. I mean, it's funny you say that, right? When I drive home today, I'll have E Street Radio on in my car, and there's always a concert, end of a concert on between 12 and 3 o'clock. If the concert is anywhere but after or before 85, I don't listen to it. Not enough stuff. There's not enough material. I want to hear everything. I like all his stuff. I'm not like that guy. I don't need to just hear, you know, Bobby Jean. I need to hear it all. I remember seeing him at Pac Bell Park, and Greg Papa and I happened to run into each other in the bathroom after the concert. It was one of the great concerts of all time, and he didn't play Bobby Jean. I said, "Greg, he played everything else." I mean, like, the guy could play like 4 hours. I mean, like, what do you want him to do?
If you haven't seen it, Howard Stern did an interview with Bruce, and Michael and I don't think Stern did a great job with it, but Bruce was exceptional, and it's being aired on HBO. So if you have HBO, or if you need my password, I can pass it along. You can check it out.
I appreciate it. I do have HBO. I saw it, and as soon as I saw the interview, I watched it for about 30 seconds. I said, okay, I'm not going to live forever. Who's got time for this? I'll just take the abridged version on Twitter.
He's fired. Amal Shaw is fired up today.
So bad.
God love him.
Amal, how are we doing in the contest? Where are you in the contest?
Let's put it this way. The Titanic has a better chance of surviving than I do at this point in time. Been a rough couple of weeks right now.
Yeah.
So still 6 points, I think 6.5 points back. So not too far out of it, but going to need some big plays down the stretch here.
Who do you like this week in the contest?
To be honest with you, I haven't paid that much attention because we've had college basketball conference play starting in the Pac-12 already. But the one that intrigues me is I like Detroit at home against Jacksonville. I'm not a buyer on this Jaguars team as much as other people are. They tend to play well when they're in Duval. I want to see this team on the road.
Mike Palm's on Detroit, too. There you go, Patrick. You got two guys on your Lions. Go for it.
Yeah, that makes me feel special. I appreciate it.
I would have assumed with Palm, you would have said he's on the under on the game.
I'm sure he is. He's on every single under.
He is a blanket under better. There is no doubt about it.
You two guys will appreciate this. I start my Angelo Cataldi interview at 7 a.m. this morning here on WIP. And before he introduces me, he just announces he's playing unders in every soccer game from here on to eternity. And he feels like he's going to win every one. I mean, even he's got the Mike Palm call. He does it.
He's 0-2 this morning.
He is. He's definitely 0-2 this morning. Uruguay got bounced out of the tournament.
Yeah, 1-1. Maybe.
Actually,
right.
You know what? It's 1-1 because Uruguay was 2.5. You're 100%. They scored early and didn't score late. They needed another goal. Are you bullish on the United States tomorrow against the Netherlands? Where do you stand right now?
Well, I'm biased. Obviously, I want Team USA to win. I think it's a great matchup, Patrick. When you look at it from a European standpoint, the clubs that you could have theoretically faced, not just based on what you see in this tournament, but in historically speaking, the Europeans generally tend to defend better than any other clubs in the world. But if you're going to pick out one team that doesn't defend particularly well, that's a world-class team, usually speaking, it's the Dutch. Now, Clockwork Orange is not as good defensively, dangerous offensively.
No.
Memphis Depay, Gakpo has been outstanding right there for the Golden Boot. I don't know if the United States is going to win, but I really like their chances in terms of the matchup. Instead of having to face, say, someone like Brazil or whatever team they could have possibly faced, France or someone like that later on, you look at the skill level of those two clubs compared to the United States, it's just absolutely appreciably different. But I like their chances simply because they've got some momentum going. They got a win that they needed to. I thought they defended when they needed to. Turner's good as long as he doesn't play with the ball at his feet. That's one area that concerns me. If Pulisic is healthy, I think this team's got a shot. Realistically, I don't know if we're going to win this one, but I like this one. By the way, Patrick, this is the only sport you'll ever hear me say we. This is the one team that I live and die with.
Wow, I love that. I love that. That's awesome.
I was telling Michael earlier,
we with the 76ers. That's how I feel about the 76ers.
That's love-hate. You say we with the 76ers and you hate them.
I ripped them today on the air. Angelo threw me a lob. I dunked it. I just went slamming it down. I felt like Michael Jordan. It was perfect.
Give me a play on USC Utah. Are you going to go under the total like a bunch of these sharp bettors right now? Where are you at?
I didn't touch it. I love the Wolverines this week, and I think they're going to absolutely house Purdue.
Amal Shaw.
I like
you're
that.
The best. Thank you.
Thanks, Amal. Appreciate you. Thanks, Patrick.
The Grinch that stole defense. Michael, I'll see you early tomorrow morning. Big Bets is next.